Good evening, everyone. Can everyone hear us okay? Hear me okay? They can't hear us in the back. Can we have more volume on that, John?
First time I've ever been told I didn't talk loud enough.
Can you hear me well now? Thank you. Thank you, John. All right. It is now 5:06 in the Warwick City Council Finance Committee's call to order. Happy New Year, everyone. Wish everybody a happy and healthy New Year. We've got a lot of things to be working on this year, and certainly I think everyone has a lot of things to be grateful for as well. We apologize for the inconvenience of having to come here to the police station. While it's a really good, secure spot, and we have a warm, fuzzy feeling about being here, we are certainly looking forward to getting back to our real home at the council chambers, but we appreciate everybody putting up with the inconvenience. So this evening, we will start off with acceptance of the minutes from the December 17th meeting. I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. First item is 2019-189, found on page 1. Christy? I'm not sure if your mic's on. Go ahead, Christy. Try again.
Is that better?
That's better. Okay.
Department's requesting to award the purchase of athletic field marking paint to E.J. Prescott in the amount of $14,000 for 2 years.
Okay, Christy, we just not that long ago approved some monies for marking paint for the fields. Now, remember, we had a conversation about why we, this committee, wouldn't approve one vendor over another. There was a pretty significant difference in the price. It was about whether the marking tool didn't fit the cans and we're going to get new ones, et cetera, et cetera. I'm curious why we're back here so soon looking for another $14,000 in paint.
Well, that bid expired actually on December 31st. So it had to be rebid regardless. We did buy 6 new machines and made sure that they were adjustable to the can size, so which gave us the ability to award any vendor that was the lowest. So that's why we had gone back out to bid.
Okay, so that brings me to the point you just made, the expiration of the bid. We moved back in, I think it was late summer or early fall, moving into this paint thing. We knew then that the contract was expiring, and here we are now looking for this contract or this bid to be awarded when the old bid has already expired. Okay? I don't really see anything here about an explanation about any of that, and I'm just finding it very frustrated that here we are again coming to us with a bid that's already expired. We know what the rules are. So having said that, being that we have a requirement for a 60-day notice to the council before we come in with a new bid, I'm going to have a discussion here about, do we hold this for 60 days? Discussion?
Well, I think that this is something that we're trying to get through here. There's been a couple times for other departments that put in, you know, the reason why they couldn't.
I was fairly arrogant when I said. Is this working? Other departments have put in the reason why they missed the deadline, something happened, and different things like that. So, I would appreciate, you know, especially when we see the bids expire, if there's a reason. Sometimes, a lot of times it was state, you know, NPAs, they haven't put it out yet, so that's why we couldn't do it, and things like that. So that's my thought that, you know, but this is something that we want to do. Give us 60 days so then our back is up against the wall where we need to approve something right away no matter what because it's going to expire and we need something, you know, it's a give and take. So we have the opportunity to do our due diligence on not just bids for this but any type of bid. It gives us more time to review it, and that's one of the main reasons why I supported having the 60 days to come in, so you know, we don't have this ticking clock on us, that we can take our time, and if we need to hold for 2 weeks or a month to get additional information, it's not this, the world's going to end, because we needed it today and only today.
I agree with everything that the councilman said, Mr. Chairman, and I would be fine holding it the 60 days, because this is something that was 2 years. I know that this is one of the first pieces of legislation that we worked together as a finance committee, so I have no problem with that. My question is, Christy, you said that you purchased six new machines that take the paint, so it was after the discussion about, as the chairman said, about 8-9 months ago, that we didn't have machines that were variable enough to handle the fields and all the different stripes. And if I remember the conversation correctly, we were talking about having to rent machines.
The issue, Councilman, was there was a significant difference in the cost per can of spray paint. We had some discrepancies between the presentation of the quantity of cans that came in the case. There was different information there that wasn't totally correct. But the issue was the machine, and we were being asked to approve this spray paint that was like $30 or a can more because it didn't fit the machine. When you can go out and buy a machine for a few hundred bucks or whatever it was, and that's what we did.
Okay.
But to me, the point of the issue is we're starting a new year.
Yep.
I'm not going through this again. I'm not playing the games. This was known about several months ago, and here we are. We're getting a bid request on January 9th for a bid that expired. I'm on a motion to hold for 60 days.
So moved.
We need a... No, we're just going to hold it. We need a motion to hold.
Motion to hold for 60 days.
Second.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So that will be March 4th in the PCR.
12-19.
PCR 12-19. Thank you. 2019-195, found on page 7, specialist in real estate.
Good evening. Brian Sylvia, finance director, and Kyle Jones, tax collector, to present. Let me start by saying, unfortunately, similar to the last, this contract has not expired. The prior contract has not expired yet, but it is expiring on January 16, 2019, so we're about 8 days before. We've had significant changes to the prior bid that we had to account for that caused the delay, but we tried our best to get it here, certainly before it was expired.
And Brian, I'd add to that that we have had a conversation about that.
Yes.
I have received the reasoning why.
Yes.
I think you're going to explain to it a bit more.
Yes.
We are not unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
We understand. Pick up the phone.
Yes.
Give me a call. Tell us what's going on, and we'll work it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what's going on.
Okay.
Good evening. The reasoning and why it took a little longer and the changes that were made was that the tax sale was through the cost of the general fund from years past. Our tax sale now includes utility billing and sewer assessment as part of our tax lien sale, so we had to have the water department and the sewer department contribute into their portion of cost. So we're adding other funds to be included. So there's a revenue accounts for tax, water, and sewer, and there's also expense accounts for those three as well that we had to set up.
Okay. Continue.
Within the bid, four bids were received. The recommendation after grading all of the bidders was to Rhode Island Tax Title. They had a total fees per parcel amount of $240.50. There was also an additional fee for auctioneer's fee, and that's an annual tax sale fee of $250, and a collector's return fee of $75. The recommendation for a two-year award is $900,000. That amount will be $400,000 from the general fund, $22,323, city collector tax sale, $8,323, which is the sewer tax sale for $250,000, and $84,323, water tax sale for, again, $250,000. So that's $200,000 a year for the general fund and $125,000 for sewer and water.
And Brian, I have my notes that I've kept from that meeting that we've had regarding this and the tax sale issues. And with the water department, that is something that has been agreed upon between you and the director of the water department, correct?
Yes.
As far as that budget item?
A budget transfer has been conducted to cover the costs.
And it's coming from, or it came from, 84779.
That is correct.
Okay. We also had a conversation regarding the differences between the low bidder and the vendor that you folks are looking to have. So tell us about the rationale behind that.
The decision mainly came down to the experience. One of the vendors only worked with one city in town. The next vendor had fire districts, which are much smaller than the city would be. And the current vendor that we've used in the past is the one we've recommended, we've worked with. They do multiple cities and towns in Rhode Island, and they have the longest experience. That's why we chose them. They were the one that helped us with the huge tax sale at 2014 that started with like 3,000 properties. So we know that they can handle a large quantity. But I'm not suspecting we'll have that many again.
Okay. Kyler, you, I'm sorry, you were here when we formed the City Council Tax Sale Review Committee, correct?
Yes, I was a deputy at that time.
That's correct. And you were one of the original members of that committee.
Yes.
For the new members of the City Council and the members who were not on the council back then and the members of the public, what happened was, excuse me, we had some, actually I got the exact numbers, and thank you for providing that. We had 3,128 parcels go up for tax sale for water sewer bill in 2014. And when I saw those numbers, I mean, it was just unconscionable to me that we were putting that many of our residents up for tax sale for paying, not paying a water sewer bill. This is like bizarre. We're not talking a property tax bill of, you know, 10, 15 grand here. We're talking water and sewer bills that could be 100, 200, 300, somewhere in that nature. So I formed the Tax Sale Review Committee, and it was unanimously supported by the City Council. And at the time, Mayor Solomon was also Councilman Solomon and had supported that. So we formed the committee. And it took us about 20 minutes to figure out what the problem was and why, at the time, the number that was being presented to us was $4.6 million that was owed. So here we are, where a $300 million plus a year business entity, and we have a 4.6-ish accounts receivable. Because why? Because the previous administration wasn't sending out delinquency notices. Nobody was picking up the phone and said, hey, Ed, you got to pay your water bill. You're 6 months behind. And this was allowed to accumulate, in some cases, to almost 3 years of past due water sewer bills, and putting our constituents in such a financial problem that it was impossible for them to get out of this problem. And it was because nobody was picking up the phone and said, you got to pay your bill. We had no delinquency notices. We had no pass. We had no shut your water off notice. We had no intent to shut your water off. We had nothing. except the $4.6 million at the time, accounts receivable, and nobody collecting it. We designed a delinquency notice. We designed a shut-off notice. We even color-coded it for specific reasons. We wanted the delinquency notice yellow, caution, the shut-off notice red. And by the way, the previous administration didn't shut off the water because it's election time, oh, I might lose a vote, whatever the case may be. But the fact of the matter is the water wasn't being shut off, and you're not going to get people to pay the bill until you hold people accountable. And you certainly can't hold them accountable after you let them get so deeply in debt they can't get out of it. So you take the easy way, and you put their houses up for sale. 3,128 parcels in 2014. It cost us to advertise it $12,045. Fast forward. As of last Friday or so, about 3.5 years after we formed this committee, we have in fact had water shutoffs. We have had some amazing collections. What we did find out was that the real amount of the accounts receivable was $6 million. That's a 60-cent tax increase, folks. $6 million, a 60-cent tax increase because nobody was picking up the phone. In 2018, let's go back to 14, we had 317 tax sales, property sold. 317. In 2018, the accounts receivable is down to under 1 million, correct?
Just approximately.
Down to under 1 million. The property sold in 2016 were 113 versus 300 and something. And the cost was $5,181 for the tax sales. You did a great job. You did a great job getting that monies down. It wasn't your fault. It wasn't our fault that that type of deficit was allowed to occur. City Council noticed it. We put together the committee. The committee did the job. We've got it done, and that goes to this point. I trust your judgment on who to use for the tax sales.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've earned it.
Thank you.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? It's completely ludicrous. Sir. State your name for the record, please.
My name is John Simino. I'm a resident of Ward 6.
Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Or condolences, whatever.
As I said, this is my fun job.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm joining the club. Last year, I came before you and the whole council, and I spoke about this exact issue, about all these collections that were done and how much they were let to build up and all of that, that you just recited. But I still have a question as to, we had 300-something collections in 2014. We had 100-something that you just cited last year.
No, I didn't say 314 collections.
What did you
say? I said we had
properties.
317 parcels
right.
Sold.
Right, okay, sold. And we had 100-something last year sold. And I'm wondering why we have a city council person that still has a property with unpaid taxes for 7 years.
If you want to have a conversation about what's on the docket,
that's
about
it.
No, it's not it.
What is it in?
Are you talking about a water sewer bill?
No, that's talking about a tax.
You're talking real estate. There's
right.
No real estate on this docket. We're not
okay.
Going to talk about real estate. You want to talk
okay.
About water sewer? You want
okay.
To ask me questions about water sewer?
Okay.
I'll be happy to answer them.
All right. So
stay on.
Okay.
Docket.
So why would we have tax sales on 300-something properties in 2014, 100-something properties for water and sewer in 2018? But not for real estate property of members of this council.
That question is irrelevant.
No, it's not to us.
Is irrelevant.
To you, obviously, but not to us.
Sir, do not put words in my mouth. You can walk away. I'm going to answer your I'm going to answer the comments. I'm going to respond. The question that you asked was irrelevant to the issue on the table tonight. You didn't let me finish before you interjected. It is irrelevant to what we're talking about. We're talking about water sewer tax bill. That's what we're talking about. Thank you. Your other questions we'll certainly address. You want to send them to the council liaison, we will address them.
I did twice.
And if you want to talk, you can come back to the mic. If you don't...
Okay. I did twice.
I'll wait for you to get to the... I'll wait for you. Good.
So I did twice, and okay. I just sent them to you again last week. It still ain't paid. Have
Thank
a good day.
You too. Thank you. Okay.
If I could, this is, again, what's before you this evening is the firm that's going to administer the tax sale for us. We are not talking about any properties at this time, as you were alluding to.
I'm perfectly clear.
Yeah.
Is the committee perfectly clear? Is members of the council perfectly clear? I think most of us are perfectly clear. I am going to expect and require order in this room. If there is not order in the room, I will ask the police officer to remove the disorderly parties. Okay, we have an understanding? I need a motion on 2019-195 for Rhode Island tax titles.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for second. We have a favorable. I'm sorry, we have a motion for second. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. All
right.
Thank you. 2019-200, radiator manufacturer, found on page 13.
Department, excuse me, the department is requesting to award 1 year from date of award to BGR Radiator in the amount of $5,000. I just want to point out that this bid is the bid that we were instructed to rebid because we only received one bid and received the exact same response.
Okay, Christy, I'll also expound on that. So, yes, we did send this back out for rebid. We asked you to rebid it. We also asked you to follow through and make sure that the bidders on the list had received the bids, because I had done my due diligence and called the vendors on the previous bid, which are on this bid, and asked them if they got the bids. Did we do that?
Purchasing emails.
Okay.
And
so
all the vendors.
Purchasing, I'm going to ask purchasing. Did we call and ask those vendors on the radiators if they got the bid?
No, at purchasing we did not call.
Okay. Well, I did, and I made that call. And there is one vendor on this list that I called, and I called last time, and it's a local vendor, and this person didn't get a bid. And nobody calls, so this bid is going back out for bid again. I want a motion. Need a motion to send this back out for a rebid. And I want the vendors contacted. Any questions, any comments?
I got a question.
Go ahead.
Christy, what building is this for, or buildings?
For the automotive division.
So for radiator repairs.
Radiator repairs, okay. That's it.
Any other questions?
No, sir.
Okay, give me PCR 12-20.
PCR 13-19.
13-19. I need a motion for unfavorable action. Sorry. Unfavorable action. I don't need a PCR.
You do.
All right. Back on. PCR 13-19. Need a motion for unfavorable action.
A motion for unfavorable action.
Seconded. Do we want to request to go out to rebid?
And yes, exactly what we're doing. We're requesting this to go back out for rebid, and I am requesting purchasing to make the phone calls to the vendors that are on the back of this list to ensure that they get those bids. We have a motion, we have a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Christie. Okay. Next item, 2019-202, found on page 16.
Good evening. Major Ben Rappin for the Police Department. On 12-17-2018, under the bid 2019-203, the Police Department received approval for the purchase of four 2018 Ford Explorer Police Interceptor SUVs. These vehicles are replacing four vehicles that were totaled in motor vehicle crashes during the course of 2018. In order to lower the cost of acquiring the four SUVs, the department purchased stock condition vehicles. And if this bid is approved, we'll be using a combination of the serviceable parts that were removed from the total vehicles and new equipment in the vehicles to make them patrol vehicles. We went out to bid for the upfitting of the vehicles with specifications to balance what the basic equipment need for the vehicles to be operational was in an effort to keep costs down. We included basic markings, lighting, and emergency equipment for the SUVs in order to accomplish this goal. Two vendors bid, and both were qualified based on the bid specs and needs of the police department. Based on a review of the two qualified bids, the PD is requesting the bid be awarded to Patrol Data from 60 Alhambra Road, Rutherford Island, who is the lowest overall qualified bidder for the upfitting of the SUVs at a cost of $3,264 per vehicle. The total cost will be $13,056. I want to note Patrol Data is a Warwick-based company which will allow for expedited delivery of the finished product upon the completion of the work, should it be awarded. If approved, the funding for this expense will come from budget code 4990446, lease purchase. There is no contract period for the award of this bid, and if approved, would be a one-time expenditure of funds, sir.
Major, have you used this vendor in the past?
For small jobs relating to our canine cars. However, I did some research in speaking to them, as well as other departments throughout the state that have been utilizing, including both Massachusetts and Connecticut. Fortunately, the reputation precedes themselves. We were very satisfied with the work they did for the canine cars using the grant monies for those jobs. So I feel very comfortable that while they haven't had the SUV orders yet, based on our previous experience, they would be able to meet the requirements for the installation, sir.
Were the dogs in the car when they were working?
Maybe no, not at all.
No. Okay. Any questions from members? Sir.
Yep. Major, and then as you mentioned in your write-up, that when you bought the replacement cars, the four, you bought them at stock, so then you took surplus stuff from the cars that were totaled that you can spare, and then you're going to upfit it this way, and that's saving the taxpayers a lot of money if you would just bought them fully loaded, correct?
Previous purchases for new vehicles, the average cost of upfitting was between $15,000 and $16,000. Sometimes that's based upon the actual needs. However, in this instance, one example is we went with a black stock car. You will see them on the street if this is approved. They have what's called ghost marking. We do have the one Expedition, so it looks all black but is a retroflective. So rather than do the two-tone paint for these particular vehicles, that reduces paint costs, graphic markings, etc. Issues like valor light bar, the siren, the speaker, the radios, mountings, charge guards. These were items that we were able to salvage as a result of going through the cars that were totaled.
Thank you. Yeah, because that saved the taxpayers a lot of money, but you're also getting what you needed. You just had to take that extra step, so I appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions from the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion for favor. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 2019-212, found on page 20. Major?
Request this bid be amended. As noted, the following. Request for amendment is based upon the fact that in December, we went out to bid for the sale of seven surplus or junk vehicles, as noted that we previously had in use by the agency. Of the vehicles, there were seven total, included five Crown Victoria Police Interceptors. Since the bid notice was sent out, the city's identified needed parts and equipment for repair of vehicles in use by both DPW and the building department, a transmission in one case. Based upon that, I'm requesting this bid be amended to award the sale of two of the vehicles, being the 2003 Nissan Maxima and the 2003 Nissan Altima. These two vehicles, based upon review of the qualified bids, were received from four vendors. The highest price overall bidder for the two vehicles, as amended, would be Frank Aquino from Village Circle here in the city, recommending award of the bid to Mr. Aquino in the amount of $561.20.
And the five Crown Vics you're looking to keep?
Correct. We're going to, like I said, in the case of the transmission and some of the other parts on the vehicles, we'll be able to reuse those.
Okay. Major, I know we've had some conversation regarding the age of vehicles and, you know, mileage, et cetera. We had another conversation quickly this evening. Just give us just the brief overview as to how these vehicles, while this vehicle, the 2011s, they're like 7-8 years old, how they accumulate so many miles.
So in the case of the five Crown Victorias, these are called R cars, reserve cars. These are the cars that are used in our detail program. At that point, they're towards the lower end of the fleet. The problem with any car that's used for a detail or stationary idle time, and I apologize, I can get there. I know that any idle time significantly increases the engine time and the estimated mileage. The 2011, for instance, I know was estimated over 400,000 of actual mileage wear and tear on the engine because of the idle time. The way the vehicles are designed with the thermostat, heating, cooling equipment, while you know, designed for pursuit, et cetera, when they're stationary, it does increase the wear and tear on them. So once they get to this R reserve rule, they do that. I can tell you confidently, looking at, I looked at NADA on the 2003 Nissans. For instance, the clean trade-in value on the Maxima was $3,450. The trade-in value was $1,325. So while the sale is lower than that, when we looked at the cost of doing repairs to get them to be functional, they would have exceeded the actual clean retail value, which they clearly weren't, based on a on the Maxima, for example, a mileage of 153,176 in overall poor condition. So we try to look at that, too, based upon what's the retail value versus putting them in a surplus situation.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Again, Major, I think this is I appreciate the work that you're doing on this. I mean, you looked at these vehicles. We were, for all the vehicles, we were only going to get about $1,200, but you went in, looked at it, like a transmission, you're able to pull out. Now you're going to use it for other parts and other departments as well. And again, I think this is the best use for that, so I appreciate the due diligence, and I think this is a good practice. Thank you.
Well said, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
Oh, okay.
It's a it will become PCR 1419. The amendment will be to sell the two 2003 vehicles, and the city will be keeping the five 2011 Crown Vics. Okay, what was the dollar amount?
Grab that right quick.
$561.20. So the dollar amount for the two vehicles that we are selling is $561.20.
Yes, sir.
We agree? Okay. We have a motion. We have a second as amended. I need a motion on the amendment.
Favorable action on the amendment.
Seconded.
We have a favor on the amendment. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. On the amendment, I need to move as amended.
I make a motion to move as amended.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second on amended, as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Major. 2019-213, final page 25, ammunition.
In December, the police department went out to bid for ammunition under bid 2019-213. Received two qualified bids from two vendors. Based on comparison of prices for the items submitted and their history of exemplary customer service with our agency in terms of delivery and accommodation, the police department is recommending that this award go to AAA Police Supply in Dedham, Mass. AAA Police Supply was the lowest bidder on each of the items with the exception of one item, that being item number 5, double-odd buckshot ammunition. I want to note that the department uses a very small amount of this style of ammunition and therefore does not recommend splitting the bid. Ammunition purchased under this bid will be for the department's annual qualifications, night shoot, and in-service programs. Remedial training is necessary. Additionally, ammo is purchased for the SWAT team for training and operational use and for our recruits who are attending Rhode Island Municipal Police Training Academy. If approved, financing for these purchases will be from the Police Department operating budget, budget code 30-236, range and target supplies, for a total not to exceed $35,000. As of Tuesday afternoon, the balance in the budget code was $27,274.38. I do want to note this contract covers two fiscal years, however. The current contract expires on March 20th, 2018. This contract will be for 1 year, commencing on the 21st of March of this year through the 20th of March of next year.
Thank you, Major, and thank you for all the information provided. I also would like to add that at a recent meeting, I asked if you would provide us with an inventory of the ammunition that you currently have in stock, and you did provide all that information. I don't have the totals with me right now, but I was disappointed that you didn't provide the information to the round.
Understood, sir.
But you were close. I did send you an email about that too, right?
Yes, I received it.
Okay. Seriously, I had asked that we be provided with a list of the inventory that they have on the ammunition, and I have received it, so I got the answers that I wanted on that. Major, what was the budget for this item previously?
For the fiscal year is $45,000.
$45,000.
I can tell you what we spent. Let me just grab this over the last periods, too, just to kind of give you where our baselines have been. Sir, give me 1 second here. So fiscal year 17-18, current to date, we spent $21,842. We continue, obviously, with the qualification, particularly the police academy. Our highest expense is $2,100 per student at the police academy for the required rounds. They do shoot a lot of rounds. Some of these recruits have never handled a firearm. Unfortunately, that number does go up slightly when a recruit can't qualify. The academy's policies and procedures are requalification. So unfortunately, when they can't requalify, we have to purchase more ammo. But the average is $2,800 per student. For example, in this academy, we have 8 students. So that went up. But we spent year to date, in this current contract, $21,842. Last year's contract was $27,830. And the previous contract was $29,934. So we're quite around that $30,000. But again, we haven't had academy classes as large as we've had in the last two groups, including the one that started this week.
And is the reason for, or one of the reasons for the drop from $45,000 to $35,000 relative to the dollars of inventory you have now?
That's correct. We've been able to finally balance an inventory where we know where our allocations are. There's also been a reduction in the price of ammo over the last several years. There was a period of time when precious metals and potable metals when China, believe it or not, a global impact on the ammunition market, particularly the brass casings. That has, in the last couple of years, subsided, and as a result, ammunition prices have decreased, as noted in the bids, as they've occurred.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Before we go on, I was remiss in the very beginning, but seeing Councilman McElroy come in reminded me to welcome both Councilman Sinapi and Councilman McElroy to your first meeting, your first committee meeting here at the City Council, and we certainly all look forward to working with you, gentlemen. Thank you. 2019-224, final page 29, service investigation.
The department is seeking an exception to bid and authorization to purchase a 1-year contract for an online investigative program from TransUnion Risk Alternative. It's being offered as a sole source vendor for the proprietary TLL service software. The exception is requested in order to allow agency to use the program for investigations, background checks for new recruits, and sexual offender registration compliance verifications. We've been using TLL service since 2013. However, it was involving a cost per search fee. That fee previously ranged from 30 cents to $7.50, depending on what option you were using while searching the software. That previously had averaged a cost of approximately $40 per month. We had increased the records checks being done. We have an active homicide investigation. Without revealing investigative techniques, we've dedicated a substantial amount of manpower and have gone over literally hundreds, close to thousands of leads on that case, which have required us to use online resources, including this TLO software. Additionally, we have a higher number of recruits, as I mentioned, in the ammo side of the house in calendar year 2018 with two classes of eight, not including transfer hires. These require us to do the same background checks on them utilizing this software program. The beginning of 2018, we began to notice that the monthly average cost had increased to $160.81, and in the last 5 months, it had gone up to $235.04. Based upon that increase, we stopped and recognized that we needed to look at trying to lock into a one-year service contract versus this a la carte use of the program. We spoke with TransUnion, and based upon a actual high of 294 1 month, we decided at that point to try to lock in the one-year service contract moving forward. It allowed us with that, the pricing is $3,360. Of note, that'll allow us to have sections of the program we never utilized before, that it's going to give us 400, we average 600 uses of the searches per month. This will give us a cap at 1,000, so we won't have to worry about coming back and saying we're exceeding our limit. Additionally, we were another company service that we previously used that was due up in February. We're not going to request be renewed. That's going to be a savings of approximately $1,359. So we're going to combine the savings in that, lock in this rate, hopefully if approved, and that way we don't have to worry about the a la carte pricing going up substantially as it has throughout the middle to end of 2018, sir. The department requests a spending authority for that $3,360. It's a one-year contract. If approved, the contract will be funded through budget code 3-399, service investigations. That budget code had $8,290.80 as of Monday afternoon in it. The contract period will be valid from February 1st this year through January 31st of next year.
So, Major, tell us what the rationale is or the basis is or was for going from 600 searches a month to 1,000.
So when we take the LP police program that we're no longer going to be using, we know we're going to increase uses of this program. So if we were averaging around 200 to 300 under the LP police, again, that's the contract we won't be renewing. And we wanted to make sure that whatever we can absorb with a little bit of wiggle room in that 100 to 200 per month would not necessitate us coming back and having to say we didn't account for enough searches, if we've gone over our allotted amount and we need more money.
And how much was that other company?
It was an annual contract. It would have expired on February 20th of this year. We'll continue the service through that time. The most recent bid or invoice was $1,359.40.
So bottom line is this really is only going to cost us about $1,800, not $3,300.
Correct. If you absorb that cost into it.
I just want a point of clarification. Your position paper, it says monthly access to the most of the functions we currently utilize with a cap of 1,000 searches / queries. It doesn't say per day, per month, per year. That's per month, correct?
That is per month.
Okay.
For
so
clarification.
Just have that read into the record that it is per month. Okay? Seems clear to me. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public?
I have one.
Oh, sir.
I'm just curious to know a letter from regarding this. It talked about two remaining per-use functions that would be part of the contract, but they are not frequently used.
Yep, let me pull it up for you, Councilman.
They could be turned off by the administrator to reduce future costs. I'm just wondering what those two per-use costs.
Yep, let me bring that up for you. So one of the reasons why this is proprietary, as I get to this information, is what's called relationship mapping, particularly phone numbers. So for example, a, on the sex offender registration side of the house. If we can enter someone's data, we begin to map relationships through the proprietary nature of the software. So two of the sections was the a detailed relationship report. We still have access to the mapping, but if we wanted to print up a detailed relation report versus taking notes off of the screen, that would be the one of the services that aren't covered. And then there's something called a comprehensive report slash business. We don't utilize that program for business use now, but if we had an investigation involving a business, we would do per use with that, and it would be within that $7.50 to $10 per use. If we found that someone was hitting, the reason I noted that in the letter was if we found someone was entering relationship report instead of relationship mapping, we could just turn off the function altogether. The nature, particularly with a homicide investigation, you don't want to limit access to it, particularly if we could do a single search or secondary search, but we do need to have the control to make sure we stay within the confines of the contract.
What's that, Councilman?
Yes.
Good question. Very good question. So, Major, if those two functions that the Councilman was just referring to were able to be shut off, can you speculate on what the savings would be with that?
There is no savings per se. It's just a matter if we use them, we would be potentially charged more.
Oh, so, if you use them.
Correct. Okay. That would remain a per use. They don't change that. And again, what this comes down to is that relationship report versus the mapping. It's just whether somebody wants to print it or take notes off of it. And our investigators too are currently in the practice of using just the relationship mapping already. So this is a new feature they're not even familiar with. So if anything, it would be an inadvertent hit. We do monitor it monthly. The detective captain, Captain Hopkins, gets a report and is aware of all of our searches. That's how I'm able to come up with the averages, et cetera. So we know how the program is being used well in advance of anything, whether it's inadvertent or otherwise.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, you need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion in favor. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
2019-227, found on page 36.
Matthew Salitro, Department of Public Works Director, City of Warwick. We're looking for approval of 2019-227 for an exception to notice under Section 56.6 for Beacon Athletics. It was estimated, the shipping cost was underestimated by $170. We bought fence cap for the fields, 1,000 linear feet.
So, Matt, I do a fair amount of purchasing, and when I get a bid from one of my vendors that includes shipping, they know exactly what the shipping cost is. It's not like a guesstimated number. It might be this or it might be that. How could this vendor be off by $170? I mean, it's $170 to someone who's paying the bill after tax dollars, it's a lot of money.
Sure is.
When you're talking a $303 million budget, it may sound like, you know, nickel and diamond, but to me it's more about the principle.
Well, it's also relative to the amount too. It's relative to the amount, so you're right. It's $1,000, $170 based on that amount is pretty substantial.
So how could a vendor tell you that the shipping cost is going to be X and then, it's $170 more? They know what they're shipping. They know what the weight of the shipping is. They know what the truck is that picks it up, that gives them the shipping stuff. How could they screw it up by $170?
I'm unable to answer that. We received the products. We got an invoice for an additional $170 after they shipped it.
Well, I can tell you this. This councilman is not going to be able to support paying it until they give us an answer as to how they screwed it up.
Okay.
I think that we're entitled to an answer.
Sure.
I think the taxpayers are entitled to an answer. We relied on their estimate. We relied on their bid. They ship it, and they say, oh, sorry, we know what we're doing. We don't know what we're talking about. We kind of guessed it was supposed to be this. Just here's the bill. Pay it. Wrong. So I'm looking to get a motion to hold. And, Matt, I'm going to ask you to contact the vendor and find out, get an explanation as to how they screwed this up.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. I need a motion of PCR 15-19, a motion to hold until, sure.
That's great. The next meeting is what? Just
oh, yeah. Matt, that's quick enough, right? February, I'm sorry, January 23rd?
I would hope so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They can just send you a fax.
Motion to hold.
Make sure they don't want to charge you extra for the fax. Go ahead.
Motion to hold to January 23.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Found on page 220. I'm sorry, 2019-228, found on page 39. Major?
The department is seeking an exception to bid authorization to purchase five tasers, the associated cartridges required for their use, and the certification of officers and power modules for the agency's inventory of tasers under the sole source vendor exception to bids. Axion, formerly Taser Incorporated, is a sole source vendor for conducted electrical weapons used by our department and law enforcement agencies across the globe. Their technology is supported by extensive training, certification, and court defensibility. Since the WPD has gone to the use of tasers in 2013, officers have an immediate weapon system available use of force that precludes the use of other levels of force up to and including deadly force. The agency maintains an inventory of 25 tasers. Of those, 5 are currently inoperative, 20 are operational. The 20 available tasers are issued each shift to one of the 95 certified officers versus the higher cost of issuing each officer who is certified their own device. While this practice does save dollars, but it does increase wear and tear through system testing of the units prior to each shift and through them constantly being carried around the clock on the belts of the officers who are utilizing them. Axion warranties the weapon systems for 1 year. And they will service them up to 5 years. And it's been our experience that this is consistent with the timeline when our tasers have been serviceable with the first 5 years purchase going back to 2012, 2013, with those being out of service, as I noted originally. If approved, the purchase of the tasers and associated equipment will be funded through budget codes 30-302 training and 30-340 service contracts, not to exceed $14,565. As of Monday, 302 budget code had $50,940.56 in it, and 340 had $76,949 in available funds. There is no contract period required for the purchase of this equipment. I do want to note, I'd also reviewed the use of force stats for our TASER program going back to 2015, and I can articulate 8 particular instances where, in the absence of the TASER, they would have been deadly force situations, where deadly force would have been authorized. So we have instances that are specific within the city where the use of this weapon system has saved lives and precluded officers from having to use deadly force in those situations.
Major, I think you touched on it, but I just want to be sure. There's an expiration time on these tasers, correct?
Correct.
You can't use them.
Well, they won't even service them anymore, and that's a 5-year window. And the program began in 12 and 13, and we're starting to see that now, and that's why. In addition, you'll notice we have cartridges, training cartridges, power management. These are all required things to make sure that the system's operational, that our officers are certified, and that they're prepared to use the system on the street.
So it has a 5-year service life.
Correct.
On the TASER. I know we had discussed this, you know, at length in the past and over the years. But I wanted to make sure that new colleagues on the council had an understanding as to why these things have to be replaced periodically.
And because we don't buy 95 like some agencies might and issue them to the 95 officers, we rotate out the 20 to 25 depending on what's work. When they're in and out of the belt all the time, in and out of the cars, just wearing all this equipment on our hips. Some of us are in different states of size of our equipment. You're always banging it around, et cetera. So there is a because it's an electronic device, while hardened, there is some impact because it's virtually on the road 24 hours a day.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on. motion for the minutes held on December 17th.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 3-19, resolution relative to abatements.
Good evening. Neil Dupuy, tax assessor.
Good evening, Neil.
So we have abatements for the month of $13,017.39, and they're listed in your packet.
Okay, Neil, again, I'm going to, I didn't specify them, but I'm going to ask you, for the benefit of our new council people, to go through a few of those abatements, you know, the ones that kind of repetitive and turn up all the time.
Sure. The majority of what we're seeing at this point are exemptions that are granted to people that did not apply before the tax bills were issued. We allow them to come in up until December 15th. So if they were eligible and they should have gotten it on December 31st, they were 65 if they're a senior at that point, and they come in after the bill is issued, we'll still grant that abatement. So those are listed as new exemptions on your abatement list. Okay. There are some other ones that we see that drop off. That's a process that we've greatly cut down this year. In the past, I think we had several hundred thousand dollars of abatements for exemptions that there was a change in ownership and the computers weren't communicating properly together, and those exemptions were dropping off. So we cut that down drastically this year, and I think that will virtually go away when next year's bills come out because we put different procedures in place. The other items that you'll see is a demolition of construction, and that usually happens before a new house is constructed. They'll knock the old house down, then we'll have a new permit for the new house, and they'll construct a new house. For those, we do send out a prorated tax bill, so this is kind of offset. It's just the beginning of the process. What you don't see here that you'll see on next month is abatements that are issued by the Tax Board of Review. We held a meeting in early December. So those will be hitting the next report.
Did we have any abatements on here? I thought I saw it. I can't put my finger on it. For our friends at the Airport Corporation?
Yes, there's one for RIAC. It's the last one on page one. And that represents acquisition. So we do prorate and abate based on the date that the property was purchased by RIAC.
Councilman McAllister?
Thank you, Chairman. I was going to point that out as well, that this is another airport abatement, and this council has legislation coming up to talk about increased pilot program, increased pay in lieu of taxes from the airport, and this is another example of another property that the airport has taken and that I think the city should be compensated for. So I always look for the airport acquisitions. So thank you for pointing that out.
Absolutely.
Councilman, I agree with you. When I see these things with the airport, it just, you know, sometimes it just makes me crazy when I think of the tax revenue that we have lost over the years, the service that we continue to provide to the airport. They expand, they grow, they brag about their gate. Their gate's gone from 3 million to 5 million. We're going from point A to point B nonstop. We got all those super duper aircraft. What about Warwick? They kind of remind me of that commercial. I forget what the product is or what the service is, but it says it never stops giving. Well, the Airport Corporation never stops taking. And we need to fight for our share because we have not been getting it. We've been getting shortchanged for a very long time. Sir.
And just to harp on that, this week was a perfect example. There was a fire at the parking lot. At the airport, and it was our Warwick Fire Department that has to respond. It's just another example of the services that we are giving to the airport. So I know this is not what we're working on right now, but it's just another example of the city of Warwick is a very good neighbor to the airport, and we're hoping that they will reciprocate. Thank you.
You know, on that end, there are a couple of issues that I'd like to work with the committee and the administration on regarding RIAC. There's definitely some legal issues. There's been some long-term practices that I'm not sure that we need to continue. So possibly with the legal team of the new administration, we can iron some of those out.
I love legal actions.
Yes.
Good for the soul.
Absolutely.
Any questions from the committee? Any further questions? Members of the council. Councilman Sinapi.
I believe an item has to be removed.
Okay. Any other questions from members of the committee? Council? Any questions from members of the public? Okay. From our councilor.
Mr. Chairman, as it relates to PCR 3-19, a request has been made to remove the abatement regarding Michael Taylor in the amount of $56.12. It's reference number 9952.
Hold on. give me the amount first.
It's reference number 9952 is an abatement regarding Michael Taylor, and the request is to be voted separately out of abundance of caution for conflicts of interest.
And what was the amount?
$56.12.
Okay, so the request is to remove Michael Taylor, reference number 9952, in the amount of $56.12, out of those abatements and vote for it separate.
So that would become PCR 16-19 to be voted on after the consent calendar.
Took the words right out of my mouth. Good job, Councilor. Okay, so we have PCR 16-19, and the amendment will be to remove Michael Taylor, reference number 9952, in the amount of $56.12, and I'm going to ask for a separate vote on that item. Okay? Consider it asked. Need a motion.
Motion, favorable action.
We have a motion to amend.
To amend on 16-19.
Correct.
So we want to do the whole package.
Just two votes, so 16-19.
We're going to vote that separate?
Yep.
And then we'll vote the rest of it after.
Okay. Favorable action on PCR 16-19.
Seconded.
Okay, we have a motion for favor. We have a second to remove Michael Taylor, PCR 16-19, reference number 9952, in the amount of $56.12. It's going to be voted on as a separate item. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Now we will vote on the remainder on PCR 3-19. I need a motion.
Favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor? Aye. Thank you. PCR 45, excuse me? Oh, that's correct. Thank you. Who's got the machine? Do a quick add. Take 5612 out of the 13. Okay, so we're subtracting $56.12 from $13,017.39. Then that gives me a net of, what was it?
$12,961.27.
All right, so that's going to be PCR 319 will be amended to reduce it down to $12,961.27. Agree? Okay, we have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Aye.
Thank you. PCR 45-18, bid 2018-243. Is the fire department here? Anyone here from the fire chief?
Chief Arnold, fire department.
Thank you, chief. I'll save us a little time. You and I had a discussion on this today. You have some, a couple items that you're going to be looking into with Blue Cross. Mm-hmm. I am waiting for some information that I've inquired about, and we have agreed to hold this until the first meeting in February, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I need a motion to hold until February 4th. This will be PCR 17. It's already PCR. I'm holding that.
Councilman.
Sir.
I could just have a word. Just for your edification, we had a situation in 2016 that Mr. Harrington ruled on with the City Council, and it was an issue where an item was held where members of the city came to discuss it. There was some lively banter back and forth for about 15 minutes, and Mr. Harrington ruled that in accordance with the Rhode Island Open Meetings Act, if the issue is published in accordance with the Open Meetings Act, publicized and put on the docket, that the council must allow the general public to speak. I reviewed that meeting this evening, and it was very clear. Mr. Harrington stated the regulations from State of Rhode Island Open Meetings Act and the council regulations. Just for your edification, there are people that did want to discuss that
Hold
issue.
On. Council, do you agree with that? Council President, do you want to weigh in on this?
I think he just stepped outside for a second.
Will somebody get the Council President? So, Councilor, while we're waiting for the Council President, my question is, if we allow testimony on this tonight, we are holding it, if we allow testimony on it tonight, does that mean we do not have to accept testimony on it when it comes back to us?
There'd be separate issues. If you want to proceed with commentary is applicable regardless of what your action would be. So it's a separate issue.
What's a separate? It's going to be the same issue.
It's separate from whether or not you're holding action.
So, Council President, we have an item, PCR 45-18. We are holding this until February 4th with an agreement to do so with the fire department. Typically, when we're holding an item for a future meeting, we do not take testimony on it, because when this comes back to us again, we've got to do this all over again. It has been testified to by Mr. Cody that it's his understanding that our legal counsel, John Harrington, has said that per the city ordinances, that if it is posted on the state website for a hearing, and regardless of whether we're holding, that we must allow the public to testify. Our legal counsel has suggested that it is at the option of the council. Do I understand that, or?
Well, there's always unanimous consent options, but I believe
that. But you're talking about at the council meeting, but in subcommittees, people can comment.
I think it's
appropriate
to proceed.
Okay.
Subcommittee people can comment.
Fine. Okay, that has been clarified. Public comment will be allowed.
Okay,
be my guest. Thank you for that clarification.
My pleasure.